Okay, before I do get started over in Romans, or if I get started today, I mentioned earlier an incident I've become aware of this week. A Baptist pastor that was stopped by the Border Patrol at an internal checkpoint. He hadn't even crossed the border. Demanded to relinquish his Fourth Amendment rights, allow them to search his vehicle. And he took a stand upon his rights. Ultimately, the windows were bashed in his vehicle. He was tasered several times. And then he was beat to a bloody pulp, required hospital treatment, 11 stitches in his face. Earlier I was talking with Brother Dale, and he said, like, every day it seems like something. And it is. Every day. And I usually try to search these things out. Oftentimes my first impression is, this can't be true. Then I search the things out, and ultimately I find out they are. It wasn't so many weeks ago, that Missouri report about patriots, folks just like you and I, that warned the police to be concerned that they might be a dangerous terrorist because they had a Ron Paul bumper sticker or opposed the regime. And then just this last week, after they apologized for that, the federal government issues a report warning folks against military veterans and folks like you and I that would oppose things like abortion and illegal immigration and on and on. It's just astounding. I shouldn't be surprised anymore. And then, as I mentioned, the episode I passed on is along as well as someone's President Obama speaking at a Catholic university, but a nominally Christian university, and the White House staff asking the university to cover up all the symbols at the front of the auditorium, and particularly the symbol of IHS, which symbolizes the name of Jesus. And though, you know, we are far divergent theologically from the Catholics, I think this is indicative of, you know, where we're going. As I mentioned, I sent an email off to this pastor via his church website. And I looked through that website just to kind of share his background a little bit, not that it makes any difference. In some ways, they would be of like faith and practice. They believe in the King James, the preservation of God's Word. They believe in many of the other scriptural truths. They, however, specifically say in their doctrinal statement, we reject the teachings of Calvinism and believe that God wants everyone to be saved. And that's kind of sad to think somebody worships a God that's wanting things that doesn't happen, a God whose will is unfulfilled. But I think most of us can say, you know, there for the grace of God go I, and there at one time did go I. So, again, that's neither here nor there when it comes down to these things. But I checked out this pastor, checked out his church website. Seemed to be very innocuous, a rather typical, you know, independent, fundamental, King James only, Arminian type of Baptist church. In fact, he even had an article on his website defending easy believism. But again, that's not so much here nor there. He determined, until it was explained to him, you know, why he was under suspicion, and they could never evidently give him an adequate explanation, so they just busted in his windows and beat him up and didn't find anything. I guess, at least from what I understand, I guess we're fortunate that I think we're fortunate that they didn't plant something on him. I think that's usually their M.O., and that's probably what we could expect in the future. And if I'd have heard that this Baptist preacher was smuggling dope and illegal aliens, I wouldn't have believed a word of it. in any case, I think it's important, you know, that we understand and we steel ourselves for this. I think it's important to pray for this young man, Stephen L. Anderson. If you look on their website, there's a picture of him and his family. Clearly dangerous folks. We just need to keep folks like that in our prayers. I think as well, you know, folks who, you need to think these things through if you're now serving in Leviathan's forces. You know, whether it be in the U.S. military or whether it be in the U.S. police forces, which aren't constitutional either, or whether it be in, you know, in local police, which have by and large been federalized. You know, what are you going to do when you're given an unlawful and an unconstitutional order? What are you going to do? You better know the answer now, because I think that time is certainly going to come. So just keep those folks in our prayers. And like I said, I sent a message off. He's got a young wife and a young family. He was incarcerated overnight. They had a hearing. And I think Friday he was supposed to have his arraignment or whatever, and I haven't heard anything about that. But continue to pray for them. It's interesting as well, this fellow, they have a pretty extensive website. They have a lot of sermons online. He has a sermon on Romans 13, of all things. And I admit to not listening to the whole thing, but it seemed to be a very innocuous sermon, you know, very typical of the mindset of most folks, you know, that we're supposed to totally submit to Leviathan and whatever. I think completely contrary to understanding, but that seemed to be the gist of that sermon. And again, I didn't listen to it all, and so this fellow is not did not have come across as an extremist at all. His main claim to fame, it seemed to be, on the internet, and I don't think he desired that, because this particular sermon was eventually pulled down. But it was kind of intriguing as I began to look at it, and I thought, you know, that's something worth sharing with everybody. And in today's world, and you know, in our sensibilities, some things may be shocking. But stay with me just a minute. If you turn over to 1 Kings 14. In chapter 10, and I couldn't even find this sermon. It said, you know, the poster had taken it down, and evidently no one else stuck it back up.
14:10.
Yeah, 1 Kings 14:10. You know, they're a King James only church, and he brings out a point here that perhaps, you know, might elude us, and something that might be helpful in evaluating various versions of Scripture, I thought, and perhaps that was his point in the sermon. I don't know. 1 Kings 14:10 says, "Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung till it be all gone." It's a rather forceful language, isn't it? You know, it's a rather graphic language, isn't it? And I suppose that might offend some folks' sensibilities, but you know, here's being reported what was the prophecy of God, the Word of God. And according to the King James, he says, "Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall." But I thought, well, you know, in our day and age, that might be considered vulgar language. It's certainly graphic language. I looked up in the Webster's 1828, and it just speaks about, you know, that the word pisseth or piss being it uses the term liquor, but liquor, which just means liquid to them, you know, that passes through the kidney and the bladder and out the body or whatever. And it didn't mention it being vulgar or any such thing. It certainly is graphic language. Now, what does he mean by that? What does that mean? What do you think he means by that? Well, we might look at it obviously and say, well, it means he's going to cut off all the males, that all the males are going to die. Okay, so he means that. We think he means that. God uses real graphic language to say it, though. So maybe in our Bibles we should change that. We should take that out and scratch out and put in male. You think that's a good idea? Well, I hope not. You know. Now, if that's the case, God, well, then my Hebrew's a little bit rusty. I'll admit to it. So I go to my old interlinear Hebrew, and by the way, there's no dispute about what the text of this was. So I go to my old interlinear Hebrew, and the literal translation from the interlinear Hebrew, and 1 Kings 10, I read this. I will bring evil to the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off to Jeroboam him who urinates against a wall. Okay, well, same thing. And I mean, that's the literal translation, and it substitutes another word, but the literal word-for-word translation. Now, what about those Bibles today that are touted as the most literal? Well, let me see. Here's the New American Standard Bible by many evangelicals today that's promoted as the most literal translation of Scripture. Well, surely they'll translate this literally then, if that's what this Bible purports to be. They'll not put an interpretation in there. I mean, we all interpreted it as speaking of the males, but God, for a reason, made it graphic. Therefore, behold, I am bringing calamity to the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male person. But that's not what the Hebrew says. That is not what the Hebrew words say. That's an interpretation. And this supposedly most literal translations you'll hear from these evangelicals. Well, there were some folks in the evangelical and even fundamental camp that, you know, said, oh, well, we'll make, because it's hard to understand, you know, some of the King James, so we'll make a new King James, and that's even going to be more literal. The new King James, 1 Kings 14:10. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel. Is that what God said? And then I was thinking about that, and I can thank Brother Anderson for this, as we pray for him, I guess. And then thinking about it, you know, when we evaluate Bibles, you know, I tell, look at 1 John 5:7, see if that shows up there, and so forth. So, you know, to tell if a translation's at least attempting to be literal, turn to 1 Kings 14:10. And as far as I know, our King James Bible is the only one that's available, you know, today in the stream of true Bibles that are in the stream of any Bibles that doesn't interpret that verse as opposed to give us a literal translation. That's kind of insightful, I think, you know. Anyway, that was evidently his main claim to fame prior to that, and he took down that video. I guess he just got so much flack from it, and so much. And of course, I notice here that they're opposed to he says homosexuality. The word sodomite. You know, that's what Scripture says. So we don't. That's kind of, maybe we should just say gay. But then even if you use that in the context where sodomites are being spoken of, it's not very. In a very good sense, so maybe we should just take those verses out. Maybe that's what we should be doing, because we don't want to offend anybody's sensibilities. Well, sanitize the Scriptures, modify God's language. I think God had a reason for saying that. It's very graphic language. It's a language that grips your attention. And he meant it to be that way. That was the prophecy of God. Who are we to be changing that? And then you come over, well, I lost my thought. Wasn't that I was not going to say it. Didn't want to say it. I lost my thought. But we need to be careful with those things. It's not wrong to explain things. I mean, that's what preachers do. You know? We read that verse, we say what it means, but God used graphic language for a purpose. And do you think maybe even God in his sovereignty, you know, knew the way men were going to be? Certainly he did. You know, there we have a key verse we can turn to and see if somebody's really, really serious about literally translating the Word of God, not interpreting it. Well, maybe that's the right interpretation, but we still have no right to interpret when we're presenting it as the Word of God. I have an obligation as a preacher to try to expound and upon and interpret those things and set them forth, but whatever I tell you is not infallible. But what's in this book is infallible and inerrant. And then how someone stand up and say, you know, this is the Word of God. How is this the Word of God? That isn't what God said. You know, some of these things that come forth with more clarity. So that we would disagree with, you know, again, Brother Anderson on many things, or some things anyway. Depending on how you count them, I guess. You know, I appreciate the insight, you know, as I thought upon that. Of course, I knew that verse was in the Scriptures, but I never really thought about it in that sense before. And I don't know how he presented it. Like I said, that sermon's no longer online. Pray for this young man and his family. And no telling how Leviathan will seek to turn him inside out. At the very least, I'm sure they'll be brought to the brink of financial disaster. And again, you could argue, you know, was this the time to stand? I don't know. That's not important. You know, he was right in standing. You know, if he'd have been in that car with his kids and the whole family, he probably wouldn't have done it. You know, those circumstances you think through. But am I going to sit here and judge him? No. I'm going to sit here and judge Leviathan, because they're in violation of the law of God, and they're in violation of the laws that this country was founded upon. They are in violation of Romans 13. Not Pastor Anderson. Well, we've been studying over in Romans. I don't know that we have time to get much done over there. We'll eventually get to Romans 13. And again, for those who have a incomplete understanding, and I guess we all do to some extent, I wouldn't agree completely with what Brother Chuck Baldwin's. But you can find Brother Baldwin's message and by just searching Chuck Baldwin, Romans 13, and he gives some good insights to Romans 13. Again, because folks always want to use these excuses. Oh, well, we should thoroughly submit to Leviathan. You know, what did Obama raise his hand and swear to do when they swore him in as President of the United States?
Well, he taught constitutional law, so he's an expert on that.
Yeah. He swore to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And that's what all the leaders... Obama is not the supreme law of this land. And God is supreme over all at all times, and that's what Romans 13 says. But Obama is not the supreme law of this land, and every leader in this land, I think, from the municipal level on up, swears to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And when they violate that, they are the ones in violation of Romans 13. And as our Baptist forefathers said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. But we would sit in judgment of them some and say, oh, we're wiser than they. We've matured beyond them. And I think not. I just pray the Lord give us grace and discernment and understanding, as Brother Singh prayed, that we might, you know where to pick our battles. Because we could stand up against every violation by Leviathan, and then there wouldn't be no one here next Sunday. But we need God's grace, and we need His strength, and we need to not violate our own consciences and not violate the law of God. Romans 13 talks about that as well. Again, some folks to support the illegitimate authorities drag that out, but that's not what it's about, and we'll talk about that as we pick up later. Thankfully, we serve a sovereign God. Amen. And I just don't know, Brother Anderson, how do you put that all together? I don't know. I pray for him, and usually folks like that give God sovereignty in areas they want him to have it in. I don't know. Because facing something like that without an understanding of God's absolute sovereignty and absolute predestination of all things, it'd be some rough going. And even with that, it could be some rough going. But God gives grace. So I just say, pray for that young man, pray for his family, pray for that church there. And that the Lord just might be glorified and strengthen and encourage them. Teach them, teach us. Give us strength in these difficult days in which we live. Pray for one another. Pray for the country. We'll just go ahead and take our hymnals, and we'll turn page 163. In the light of everything, number 163, blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Our Lord reigns. Our Lord rules. Our Lord's in charge. Blessed assurance. Let's stand as we sing together number 163.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praise my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Father, we do thank Thee that Thou art the sovereign God, that You rule and reign in the affairs of men. Father, there seems to be dark clouds upon the horizon, but we know not what the future brings. But Father, we're thankful that You are the one who holds the future. And Lord, we know that there may difficult times come about us. There may difficult times come upon us, but we know that all things work together for good. For them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Lord, we thank Thee for that blessed assurance. Father, I pray that You strengthen all of us to be that people that You would have us to be in this day, Lord, to be witnesses and testimonies, Lord, to be as well those that might encourage and help strengthen others. Lord, we pray for this young pastor and his family, the difficulties they've faced. Lord, we pray that You bring justice upon those that have reviled and persecuted Your people. Father, we thank Thee most of all for our Savior, Jesus Christ, He who bore our sins and suffered our punishments. Lord, that we know whatever men may bring upon us, that only glory waits those that are in Him, that have received the atonement. Father, we thank Thee for that blessed truth. Father, we thank Thee for one another. Lord, we pray for Brother Howe as he's away this week, that You give him traveling mercies. Lord, we thank Thee that You've given us Your Word. Lord, we thank Thee that we know we can hold in our hand the Thus Saith the Lord of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that we might not be deceived as so many others seem to be. Lord, that we might ever recognize Your true Word and submit ourselves to it. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You, Lord, for Your daily provisions. Thank You, Lord, for this, Your church. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.